Ready?
Go. Hey, everyone. It's Heather Whaley.
Hey, everybody. Frank, party in the USA.
Today Whaley. Is Friday, January 7th. We acknowledge the one-year anniversary of the racist, white supremacist, anti-Semitic, bloody, deadly insurrection, Capitol riot yesterday.
Yep. That's right.
I mean,
What a year.
When you watch that footage and you hear those people saying, oh, it was nothing. Oh, it wasn't an insurrection. It's freaking nuts. It's like you're watching it. You can see it happening. They were posting their own freaking videos of it. Idiots.
Bunch of clowns.
Yeah. And they're even screaming, 1776, 1776. Well, that was a freaking revolution where people went and got shot and killed people.
Betty White died.
Oh, was she at the Capitol riot?
She was involved in the insurrection.
Yeah. She was the one who built it. Most people don't know because that wasn't really caught on camera, but she was the one who built the gallows.
No, Betty White passed away. A lot of people, there's a period of time where lots of people are passing on. Peter Bogdanovich passed away. Peter Bogdanovich is very significant in my life because the first film I ever saw in the movie theater was Paper Moon. And I would say that's my favorite film. Paper Moon is my favorite film, I think. Well, Last Picture Show is one of my favorites. They're just brilliant. The Last Picture Show, Paper Moon, amazing movies. And then Peter Bogdanovich kind of went off the rails a bit. But
yeah. How old was he?
I think he was, I want to say 92.
I mean, he was old, so.
Yeah, I mean, he had a storied career. You know, he was, it's an interesting life that he had. He was a critic, he wrote books about movies. He was very wise.
Erudite.
He knew about movies. He knew a lot about movies. He put out a documentary recently about Buster Keaton, which I loved. I mean, read about him. I'm not going to sit here and I'm not prepared to, you know, to do his obituary. I was talking about Betty White.
Right.
Anyway, Betty White passed away. Bogdanovich passed away. Sidney Poitier passed away today.
Yeah. Au revoir, Monsieur Poitier.
Bonne
journée. That means have a good day. It doesn't mean have a good journey.
Amazing person. First African-American man to win an Academy Award.
That's right.
And brilliant actor. Who else passed away? Are there anybody?
Lots of the old people are dying. Shocking. Isn't it shocking?
Betty White.
No, I didn't mean to sound callous.
Well,
but I heard,
like,
on MSNBC, they were saying, like, oh, Betty White, she should be lying in state. What a horrible, this is so horrible. This is a national tragedy. And it's like, the woman was nearly 100 years old.
Like, well, I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say, you know, Betty White, I think, was so loved because why? I mean, I understand why. I don't want to get any haters out there, you know, because everybody loves Betty White. But I think Betty White, everybody loved Betty White because she was hanging on, right?
Betty White was very funny.
Okay.
And she was...
She never won an Academy Award.
She was sweet, but also had could do, like, a dark sense of humor.
That's a dime a dozen. Everybody can do that. I can do that.
Yeah, but not when you're, like, 90. I don't know.
Look,
why. I don't know what it is, to be honest.
Here's what it is.
I mean, it's not like if Dolly Parton died.
Dolly Parton, I think, has it over her because Dolly Parton
is a songwriter
and all that stuff. But Betty White, I'm just going to keep it on 100% real, as I always do. You know, Betty White, you know, was on Mary Tyler Moore Show. She made the rounds of all the television shows in the, you know, in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, right?
That's
right.
She was on The Golden Girls.
She was in Golden Girls, sure. So is Estelle Getty and Bea Arthur.
Well, people love them also.
Right, but Betty White, it's like Eleanor Roosevelt. Look, here's what happened with Betty White, okay? She was on a lot of game shows, Password. Her husband was the host of Password. I forget his name, Lunt. I think his last name. I forget, remember his last name.
You can Alan Funt?
No.
Lunt Fontaine?
No, the guy you met, I think that guy was Candid Camera. I forget his name. I think his first name was Alan. Anyway, look it up. Our researchers are off. Anyway, Betty White, she was on all those game shows. She was like, you know, one of those character type people, right?
That's right.
And then, and I know a lot about this firsthand because she and I had the same agent for many, many years. I had an agent for many years that you know, represented me, Kenny Rogers, Betty White, like Suzanne Plachet. This guy represented everybody over the age of 65 except me. That's why all I was ever up for was Matlock and Murder, She Wrote. Because this guy, that was his circuit. Anyway, he represented Betty White, so I knew of a lot of this firsthand. But Betty White did a Snickers commercial in the early aughts. Remember that, Heather?
Yeah.
And that was her big comeback. And everybody loved, you know, kitschy Betty White. So don't get me wrong. I love Betty White just as much as everybody else, but Sidney Poitier.
Okay, but hang on.
Passed on.
That's not, you don't need to compare. It's not a competition. First of all, Betty White worked longer in television than anyone else ever worked in television.
What? That's not statistically
true. She has a Guinness World Record. She set the Guinness World Record in 2018.
For being what?
For having worked longer in television than anyone else.
Yeah, that's because she's old. She hung on.
She was the first, this says, she was the first woman to produce a sitcom. But Lucille Ball was, wouldn't you call her a producer of I Love Lucy?
Well, Lucille Ball was like a maverick. I mean, she did it all.
Yeah. So she had,
I'm rhyming.
Betty White had 8 Emmy Awards.
Hold on. I'm rhyming all over the place. I said Lucille Ball did it all.
Yeah.
Sidney Poitier died today. I mean, it's, damn.
She had 3 American Comedy Awards, 3 Screen Actors. She didn't get the Screen Actors Guild Award. She had a Screen Actors Guild, which is a totally different thing. I don't know what the Screen Actors are.
She loves to ski.
Yeah, the Skiing Actors Award. And she had a Grammy Award.
For what?
I don't know for what. Probably a comedy album.
Anyway, I'm not trying to count up Betty White.
She had 5 primetime Emmy awards, 2 daytime Emmy awards. I mean,
look, she was somebody who spent a lifetime working. That's an accomplishment in its own. But
she got the Humane Award from the American Veterinary Medical Association. She worked with animals.
She loved animals. Yep. Yeah. Look, Betty White, you know, Betty White is Betty White. Everybody loves Betty White. I'm just saying. Everybody just wanted to see her turn 100. That's all. Anyway.
She was an honorary forest ranger.
Oh, come on.
She was. She was an honorary forest ranger, anointed by Smokey the Bear.
Yeah, well, I have a day named after me up in Syracuse, New York. That and a dime would get you on the damn subway.
But do they celebrate it? How do they mark Frank Whaley Day?
By shoplifting from the Rexall on Salina Street. One other thing on Betty White. She's involved in some QAnon-inspired rumors.
Really?
Yeah, because these QAnon people, they got some crazy, they're obsessed with celebrities like killing babies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And
they think that all the celebrities are involved in like child sex trafficking.
Right. And there's a QAnon rumor that Betty White drinks the blood of virgins and that's how she stayed looking so youthful.
Okay. But did she really stay looking so youthful?
I mean, she looked pretty, she was 99, she looked pretty good, and she passed away when she was 99, I mean, she looked okay, I mean, she still looked fine, you know?
Right,
but, okay. I don't know, I mean, I never drank the blood of virgins, so I don't know how that works, but anyway, she said, on some sketch show, she said, "People always ask me how I stay so youthful. I tell them I eat well, get plenty of rest, and every third Sunday I drink the blood of a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
And these days, they're getting harder and harder to find.
Okay. Well, there, I think now you know exactly why Betty White's a legend. That's
these comments, hysterical. Well, she didn't write it, I'm sure. These comments naturally generate a lot of discussion on social media. A large portion of people could not simply put this down in case of being an innocent joke, because there are crazy people in the world, and social media is a curse, and their souls are rotten, and so are their brains.
But the QAnon people went back and watched that from whatever year that was, and they're like, "Ah, she admitted it."
Yes,
as if Betty White really, if she was really doing that, as if she would go on a TV show and say it out loud.
One person wrote, "Joke or not, you have to question anyone in Hollywood who makes jokes about adrenochrome and child sacrifice."
Is adrenochrome a real thing?
Adrenochrome. You got to wonder how she stayed so youthful while remaining one of the biggest stars in pedo-wood.
Pedo-wood?
Yeah, that's what they call it.
Oh, my God. I mean, first of all, everybody has a facelift there. Nowadays, they're not drinking adrenochrome. They're injecting botulism into their faces.
Anyway, leave it to some joker in the middle of nowhere, probably, to think, you know, Betty White's, you know, part of the pedophile Hollywood ring.
Come on. Speaking of QAnon, did you hear about this lady from the Capitol riots who was, why wasn't she in jail? She was released from jail.
Are you talking about Betty White?
No, I'm talking about this lady who killed two people.
Oh.
She was drunk driving, one of these Capitol rioters.
Oh.
Wasn't in prison, and she just killed two people. I mean, these are the biggest low-life scumbags in the world. They really are.
Oh, yeah. And
sicko,
they drink
psycho.
The blood of virgins. You know, my stomach is grumbling
I
over
know,
here.
And I'm thinking people are going to be hearing that on the tape.
That's because I drink the blood of virgins.
Hey, Frank, why don't you give me a letter?
Before I read this letter that we received, we got all kinds of letters and stuff like that, emails and direct messages a lot of them we just had to, you know, they're kind of old now because we never got back to anybody on these because we don't give a damn. That's not true. We do give a damn, but it's just, you know, it's only so many hours in a day, Heather.
That's right.
You know, Tom Brady drinks 2.5 gallons of water a day.
Oh, I thought you were going to say adrenochrome. 2.5 gallons of water. Wow, that's a lot.
And he drinks 1 liter of adrenochrome. Adrenochrome? Adrenochrome.
Yeah, well, he has adrenochrome, which is a different, it's like an off-brand. It's cheaper. Which is weird because he's got a lot of money.
2.5 gallons of water a day. And that's of interest to me because every day, the first thing I do in the morning, or you know, the late morning when I drag my bony ass out of bed, because I like to stay up late, drink rosé. Right?
Rosé all day. That's you, Frank.
I like to drink late into the night, especially if the Knicks are on. I like to tape the game and
oh
then watch
God.
The Knicks.
Okay, you are. I bet you're the only man, and I'm going to say something. I'm going to be making like a gender biased statement here. The only man who stays up late drinking rosé in January watching the Knicks.
That's racist and
why
sexist.
Why is it racist?
No, it's sexist, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, I like to, when I get up in the morning, I like to drink two big...
Bottles of rosé.
Bottles of water.
Mm.
Because I find that helps my... A long time ago, I learned the importance of elimination in the morning.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Got to eliminate early.
People don't want to hear about this on a podcast.
Anyway,
they really don't. It's Friday. They're like, woohoo, the weekend.
But Tom Brady's eliminating all over the place. If he's drinking 2.5 gallons of water a day.
But maybe he sits in like one of those hot boxes or something and like sweats a bunch.
You know something or two about a hot box.
Are you going to read this letter to me?
So now Troy Aikman, remember him? Now he's drinking 2.5 gallons of water
Troy
a day.
Troy Aikman from what was that show? America's...
No, that's
America.
Clay Aiken.
Oh.
Anyway, you want me to read this?
Yes.
All right, hold on. Let me pull it up here. Which one should I read? Nice one or the mean one? I want to read I'll read sort of mean one.
Okay.
Dear Frank and Heather, great podcast.
That sounds nice.
Exclamation point.
Mm-hmm.
smiley face.
Oh.
Miss the Daily.
Miss the, oh, and we used to do this every day.
Oh, well.
Not take me.
Oh, well, take what I can get.
That's right.
Frank, this week was the 32nd anniversary of Born on the 4th of July. Is that true?
Jesus Christ.
32nd?
Yes. You knew that because you tweeted about it yesterday.
Right, but I didn't know it was 30. I thought it was like in 20-something.
You tweeted it's the 32nd anniversary. And I know that because you asked me to type it in for you.
Why are you shouting?
I'm not shouting.
Frank, this week was the 32nd anniversary of Born on the 4th of July. I assume he means the release of that film, which was this week, yes. Why not work with Oliver Stone anymore? What are you up to these days? Keep up the good work, Ben in Arkansas.
Oh, Ben in Arkansas.
What am I up to these days?
You're sitting here.
Reading your stupid fucking letter, Ben. What do you think I'm doing? I'm up to the same shit I've always been up to. And Oliver Stone really isn't making movies anymore. So there.
That's it? That's the answer? If Oliver Stone was making another movie, you would gladly be in another movie with Oliver Stone.
The last time I saw Oliver Stone was when he was casting the film about George W. Bush. And he brought me in. I have been in 4 Oliver Stone films over the years, and I want that we were in LA. You and I think I don't know what we were doing. We were out there. I think we were living out there at the time. I don't know. Anyway, I went in, and he had me read for a whole bunch of different parts. And he's kind of a sadist, Oliver Stone. He knew I wasn't right for any of these parts, but he was just
want to make you jump through hoops.
Yeah, and I really, really wanted. It was a time where I really thought that would be something that could be very beneficial to me. And I've always enjoyed that. But Oliver Stone has always enjoyed torturing me. Always. He always did. He always kind of, I don't know. I remember I'm Born on the 4th of July. I told you a story how he screamed at me on the first day of filming, right? On
my
first
day of filming. How embarrassing.
Do you remember that story?
Probably not.
It wasn't my first day. I don't think it was my first day filming, but I was doing another film at that same time, Little Monsters. And I don't think anybody from the Born on the 4th of July production knew that I was going back and forth because I probably wouldn't have been happy about that.
I wouldn't have done that if I were you.
I was doing everything I could. I was trying to make some money.
Yeah, I know, but I wouldn't have done that. I mean, you're in this Oliver Stone movie with Tom Cruise.
Well, I think
I wouldn't do the Howie Mandel movie.
Well, I think I had that part first.
Well, you could always say, sorry, I can't do it. I'm allergic to that project.
Sure, Heather.
I mean, if I was your agent, that's what I would have said.
Yeah, my agent, yeah. Anyway, I had gotten back. One was filming in Dallas. Born on the 4th of July was filming in Dallas. The other one was filming in North Carolina. And I'd worked on the one in Little Monsters the night before, late, barely got out in time to get back to Dallas to film early in the morning one of my big scenes with Tom Cruise. And I show up on the set without my lines memorized. And Tom Cruise not only has his lines memorized, but he's like, for the first rehearsal, he's set to go. He's doing push-ups, putting menthol in his eyes to make his eyes all misty. Freak. That guy is a freak of the week. But I didn't know my lines. I was reading off the page, and Oliver Stone just stood up, came over and said, get the hell off this set. Come back when you know those lines. He screamed.
Oh my God, how embarrassing.
It was more than embarrassing. It was the kind of thing where it made me, if you ever, I don't know if this happens to women, but it made my testicles sort of shrink up into my body. And I peed a little bit.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I can't really explain. I mean, it scared me. It was so startling and scary to have this, you know, maybe because I didn't have a strong father figure in my life ever, but to have him stand up and scream at me that way, and everybody just went silent, and my balls went up into my body,
and they just stayed there forever. That's how that happened. I mean, I always wanted to ask, but I didn't want to, like, make you feel embarrassed about it or anything like that. So that's how that happened.
Goodbye.
This is not very good podcast content.